Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening we talk about the frustration that many of us feel when we have many things to get done. Perhaps we are interested in starting a small business, or perhaps we want to grow it. How do we accomplish that task? Or perhaps you've thought of starting a business yourself and have many ideas, but you're unsure about how to begin. My guest this evening has the answer to getting these tasks completed and moving towards success. My guest this evening is Karen Jett, who specializes in working with successful small business owners, from the small sole proprietor or mom-and-pop business owner through small businesses employing up to 500 employees. In addition to her strategic planting workshops, Karen has a four-step process that assists small business owners to identify their brand. She presents this process in presentations, small workshops, and one-on-one mentoring sessions. It is a pleasure to welcome Karen Jett to WDIY.
To me, it's like a four-step process for identifying the things that are important to both a business or to an individual or family.
And what is that four-step process?
It's the vision, the mission, the values, and the operating guidelines. The vision is the big vision of why you start your business. So family, it's, you know, what is it that you, or an individual, it's what's the mark in life that you want to leave? What's the legacy you want to leave behind?
Ah, so you need to establish what your vision is for yourself and know your own goals and your own dreams for yourself so that you can focus on them.
Yeah. If you don't know what's important and what it is that you really want to do, then how can you be focusing on getting them done? There's so many distractions and pleasant things that can take our time away from things that are truly important to us if we allow them.
And can you give us an example of establishing those values in a concrete example of a business or someone that you've helped establish that?
Okay, well, the values are the second V, and they are basically how a company does business. And I've worked with my husband. I've created my own values, of course, also, but I've worked with my husband. He is a farmer who grows produce organically, and he was my first client, really, in figuring out values. As I was trying to figure out how this all came together, we were working with what's important to him and his business. And we realized that it came down to high-quality produce, very high level of customer service, making people feel welcomed and trusted, and getting a fair price for his product because he needs to be able to make a living so that he can keep growing the high-produce produce.
Well, that's wonderful. So your husband came to you for advice. And has he followed through on those values and those?
He has. It's informed everything his business has grown to since then. We had a funny story sort of early on after we identified them. He was at auction and he called me on the phone, and I'm 50 miles away. He's out in Lancaster. I'm in my car driving to Philadelphia for a client. And he goes, "Karen, I don't know what to do. I'm at the auction. There's all this stuff here, and it's gone really cheap, and I don't know what to do or what to buy." And I'm sitting in my car going, "And you're asking me this, and I'm supposed to be able to help. How?"
So how did you advise him?
Well, I thought, we were just talking about this value stuff. There ought to be an answer here. If what I'm talking about and preaching is true, there's got to be an answer. So we went back to his values, and his number one value is high-quality produce. So I said, "Honey," I said, "that's your number one value. I'm thinking that, you know, you need to look at the quality of the stuff that's being sold. And regardless of the price, if it's high quality, you buy it. And if it's not high quality, you don't buy it." And he went back and he said, "I'll give that a try." And he looked at everything that was being sold. And he actually walked out of the auction and did not buy anything because he realized that part of the reason it was all going so cheap was that none of it was quality.
Wow. So that was a tribute to you that he was able to develop a criteria under which to base his decision.
Yeah, that was one of his first big building blocks, I think, in the quality and how he changed his buying habits.
Well, so you really helped him and helped him into seeing what he wanted to stand for.
Yeah. getting the clarity behind it.
So, and he decided to go green, is that right?
Yeah, he actually, over time, it was, I joke, it's kind of an organic process, but he's become an organic farmer. He started off doing chemical-free first at the request of some of his clients, because with the quality of his produce, he was attracting people who were interested in that. Over time, we realized that that food tasted better, and he has adapted all organic processes. He's not certified because it's very expensive, very time-consuming. But he is on the foreground of organic processes in this area.
Well, that is very exciting. And it's wonderful that your husband was able to really look to you as a mentor.
Shh, don't tell him that.
So you have those identify the first two things that we need to look for are our values.
And a vision.
And a vision. And the second?
The next one is the mission.
Oh, the mission, right.
And the mission is basically for a business. It takes the form of ABC company provides this service or product to this group of people. So it defines their little area of the world and what they're going to be selling or providing to individuals of value that people would want to pay for it.
And the fourth?
The fourth is operating guidelines. The operating guidelines have to do with how a company does business. It's we do things this way, we don't do them that way.
And give us an example of what you mean by that.
All right, well, we're all familiar with Southwest Airlines.
Yes.
One of their major operating guidelines is that they fly only 737s because one of their goals is to have 10-minute turnarounds. So they discovered that by flying only 737s, they only had to have crews trained in one, servicing one plane. And that enabled them to have faster turnarounds in the gate.
So it's important to understand what it is that you want to accomplish and so that you can make the correct decision.
Yeah, it really is. Because the clearer you become on it, the less likely you are to get distracted by other things that can take you off target. And the clearer the brand comes for the organization. And when we think about the great brands, one of the reasons they're great, and Southwest Airlines is a wonderful example of that. Many companies have tried to emulate them and failed. And it's because, you know, they've got not just the very clarity on how they do business and the willingness to stick to it, even when sometimes it doesn't seem like the most intuitive approach. But it also combines with the values, the mission, and the vision. And when you put that whole ball wax together, you create something that's unique and memorable.
Which identifies with you and your firm or the company or the business that you want to establish.
Yes.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Eleanor Barbro. And this evening, I'm talking with Karen Jett, who specializes in working with successful small business owners from small proprietor or mom and pop businesses owners through small businesses employing up to 500 employees. And what we're talking about is how to help you if you would like to start your own business. Maybe you're thinking about it, but maybe have not gotten it underway because you have got the idea, but you don't have the process to make it happen. Tell us, how do we go from the idea to getting it off the ground? Many people have ideas. Oh, I'd like to have this kind of business. I'd like to sell this. Now, your husband was fortunate. He had a farm.
Yes.
And he knew that he wanted to keep that farm. Farming was his business, and this was a heritage for him.
Yes, he'd been farming since he was a little boy. His father, and I believe his grandfather also before him, farmed. So he knew all about it since he was a baby, literally.
So how do many of us who may have ideas, we're living in a very difficult time, Karen. Some people are maybe not happy with their jobs, might be thinking perhaps of switching and going into their own small business, but they get stuck because they don't know how to get started. And I'm wondering, how do you help people get started?
I don't work with people to get them started, but I can certainly give them some ideas and some tips on, you know, resources that are available for them. First of all, they need to be passionate about what they're doing, because if they think it's hard working for somebody else, it's twice as hard working for yourself. SCORE, SBA, trying to think, there's another one out there too. There's a lot of resources out there that are free that they can go to. that can help them to build a business plan.
Now, SCORE is they are at Lehigh University.
Yes,
SCORE, and they help small businesses get started.
Yeah, they work with existing small businesses, and they also work with people who want to start a small business. They won't do the work for you, but they'll guide you through the steps of creating a business plan.
And are there other resources that you can think of?
Yeah, if you're going to start your own business, if you don't have a business background, I'd strongly recommend that you get a mentor or coach of some sort.
And how does one go about doing that?
Well, if you're lucky, you've got someone that you know that's in your family that has a business background that may, or in your general network, that may be willing to do it for you, you know, as just a you're my friend, I'm going to do this for you. Otherwise, you're going to wind up paying some money. And you really want to make sure that you interview them and that you make sure that you're clear on what you want to get out of the relationship.
Well, you know, you were not always in this work, Karen.
No.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how you use some of your own philosophy and your own beliefs and your own strategies to get yourself started when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
WDIY reaches a well-informed and passionate listening audience every day. Enhance your image with our community by becoming an underwriting supporter. Spread the word about your business in an uncluttered atmosphere of high-quality NPR and locally produced programming. Underwriting is an affordable way to reach the public radio audience, and it may be tax-deductible. To learn more, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. This evening, we're talking with Karen Jett, who specializes in working with successful small business owners from the sole proprietor or mom-and-pop business owners through small businesses employing up to 500 employees. In addition to her strategic planting workshops, she has a four-step process that assists small business owners to identify their brand, and she presents this process in presentations, small workshops, and in one-on-one mentoring sessions. Tell us, Karen, how did you use your own advice in getting yourself started?
When I first started my previous career, I was an accountant. So when I started my own business, I was very good at running a business, not so good at marketing, selling, and even doing the presentations that I wanted to do so much. So I looked around in a group that I belonged to called the National Speakers Association, and I looked at the people around me and said, who do I most want to be like when I grow up?
Huh.
Now, I was an adult at the time, so that was metaphorical. and I identified a woman named Kathy who was very outgoing, who had a fantastic brand, who was very dynamic.
And when you say fantastic brand, what was her brand?
Her brand is Shed or You're Dead. And she talks about change, and she has a sidekick named Lenny the Lizard.
Oh. Does it have to do with shedding pounds or just...
Shedding whatever.
Oh, shedding.
Shedding those things that hold us back.
Ah.
And taking on new things. It's also shedding to learn new things in order to grow.
So you took Kathy on as, did you take her or she took you on?
She took me. I went up to her. I took her out to lunch and had a bunch of questions to ask her just to make sure that we were a good fit. When I found out we were, I asked her if she would be my mentor. And she agreed on one condition. And that condition was that I had to agree to at least try everything that she asked me to do.
And did you have to pay her?
No, I was very fortunate in that the group that I belong to, they're very much about helping other people to come forward. And so I was the one mentor that she took on, mentee, I guess, and she was, you know, wonderful, wonderful to work with.
And what did you gain from her? What strengths did you gain from her?
Well, I was an accountant, as I said, before I started my own business. And, you know, do you know the difference between an introverted accountant and an extroverted accountant?
Tell us.
An introverted accountant looks at their own shoes when they talk to you, and an extroverted accountant looks at yours. So I was not that bad. I could look people in the eyes, but I was certainly not anywhere near Kathy's level of outgoing and extroversion. So she really pushed me to be more authentic in the front of the room, to let my sense of humor out, to engage people in ways rather than just standing in the front and lecturing. And she's really, I think, a huge part of why I'm so effective now in working with people.
And did she help you to establish your values? And did she help you to focus your attention on what you really wanted to achieve?
Well, she helped me not to, with my values. That kind of came out of my own work. She did help me, though, with really focusing, because when I developed tools on how to create things and started thinking with a strategy and growing my business in the different ways, she was always there to make sure that I was applying them to my own business and not just talking about them in the front of the room.
And so you developed your own tools and your own strategies.
I did.
And one of the most important ones, Karen, Jett, is the idea of focusing.
Yes.
Tell us, why is focusing so important? And what does it help us to achieve if we can get that tool right?
Focusing is so important because there's so many things out there that are ready to distract us. I call them shiny baubles. They look like opportunities, but they're really distractions there to take us off.
Such as?
Email, Facebook. There's tons of things. There's even all the different networking events and sessions and seminars that you're invited to where you can learn things. But if they're not key to the things that you're trying to accomplish right this moment, they're a distraction. And they're going to keep you from accomplishing the things that are most important. For example, when I was writing my book, I wrote a book in 9 months from the time that I started writing to the time that it was on the bookshelves ready to be sold.
And the title is?
Grow Your People, Grow Your Business.
So as you were writing this book,
I had my strategy behind how to do it. I had it broken into three-month segments, and I created what I call my clarifying questions. This is a tool for creating the focus. And what you do is you figure out what's most important to you, and then you create three questions that can be answered yes or no. So while I was writing my book, my three questions were, will this help me to gather the information that I need to write the content of the book? Will this help me to figure out how to self-publish my book? Will this help me to market and sell my book? And if opportunities came up that I was not able to answer yes to at least one of those questions, then I knew they were a shiny bauble, that they really were going to keep me from finishing my goal on time to have a book for sale within the 9-month period.
So what you're saying is a shiny bauble are the distractions in our lives that take away our focus,
yes,
that take away our concentration on the real goal that we're interested in.
Yes.
And you were able to discern that by asking of three questions.
Yes.
Repeat those questions again.
When I was writing the book, they were, will this help me to develop the content? Will this help me to self-publish my book? I had a lot to learn in that area. And will this help me to market and sell my book?
And that strategy helped you to focus your attention. And how did you get your book done?
You know, the first 3 months went really well. Yeah, that was the writing phase. Everything went according to plan. I had no problems. Second 3 months, things really got challenging, and I had to really focus hard in order to get it done.
What were the challenges?
I had to change my graphic design person in the middle because we just weren't getting anywhere on the cover of the book, and she refused to start the interior of the book until she had the cover. The editing process turned out to be much more arduous and time-consuming than I really thought it was going to be.
So the reason I wanted you to point that out is that here you are, you have an idea, and you know where you want to go, and you're focusing. But I want our listening audience and all of us to understand that things don't necessarily go as planned, and that we need to keep on with the plan and refocus, if you will.
Yes.
Is that what you did, refocus?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had the inevitable meltdowns, but you had to keep them to the minimal amount of time. One of the biggest challenges was finding a brand new graphic design person within a 2-day period, which is not easy.
And the book was published.
The book was published,
and
yes.
You self-published it.
I decided to self-publish, yes.
And where can this book be found?
The book can be found at Amazon.com. It can also be found at the, I forget the name of the Bethlehem bookstore. I know I should know it, but it's
Moravian
in
Bookshop?
Moravian Bookshop, thank you.
So one of the things we need to do is focus. We need to ask clarifying questions to help us develop our focus. Any other strategy that we need to do?
just don't beat yourself up. If you fall off the horse, you know, learn from it and then forgive yourself and go back to focusing again. We all get distracted. We all have things that don't go the way that we expect to. And, you know, there's always a certain amount of self-pity and everything else that goes into the recovery process. But the trick is to move through it quickly, recover, and get focused again and move on.
So what you're saying is that everyone experiences difficulties and that we need to avoid. We need to avoid having the imaginary idea that it's going to go without problems.
Yeah, that would be really good because, you know, I have yet to meet the fairy godmother with the magic wand. If anybody knows, please send her my way.
So what you're saying is no matter how creative and no matter how well-focused we are, we are going to be encountering problems, and that's to be anticipated and not to imagine that we're going to have clear sailing.
That is true.
And so your book was published, you self-published it. And tell me, can you think of a client that you may have helped, perhaps a small business person who was just getting started with an idea and who came to you for help in concretizing and gaining focus? Can you give us an example?
I helped one woman. She's a graphic designer. She came to my strategic planting workshop. And after the strategic planning workshop, she said, you know, I've got my action plan, but I know it's not detailed enough. And I worked with her one-on-one, some one-on-one mentoring, and we spent 90 minutes and went through her action plans, and we took them down to as low a level as we possibly could. When I spoke to her again a year later, she had accomplished those things that were in her plan. And surprisingly enough, what she told me was that she learned about herself as going through the process has led her to actually start a new business called Don't Toss It. .com, which repurposes things that would normally be trashed into art.
Now, say that again. Many of us would like to know about that. Repurposesit.com.
It's don'ttossit.com.
Oh, don'ttossit.com.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So she learned herself from the value, by clarifying her own values.
Yeah, by going through the process of, you know, figuring out who she was and who her company was. That, you know, as she was real good at the graphic design. She still does the graphic design, but she had this other burning desire and passion that she realized it was time to come out.
So she developed a whole new concept.
Yes.
And that's very important because so many people go through their things and they want to get rid of things and they don't want to make a decision, or they say yes, no, maybe, and then the maybe pile starts to pile up and there's nothing going out. So tell us the name of that website again.
Don'ttossit.com, that one?
That don'ttossit.com.
Yes.
Very good. Now, and if people want to get in touch with you, Karen Jett, how can they do that?
They can email me at kjett, it's K-J-E-T-T, at jettexcellence.com. Again, J-E-T-T. My website is www.jettexcellence.com, two T's in Jett. I'm also on Facebook. They can find me there and on Google+.
And tell us about, we've talked a lot about focusing as being very important. What about strategic planning?
Strategic planning is what gives you the focus.
Ah.
We talked about at the beginning of the interview the vision, the values, the mission, and the operating guidelines. That's kind of the groundwork that you do the strategic planning on. The strategic planning then says, what are all the different things that I want to do in the next 5 years, or however far out you can look out, to take my business where I want it to go, to create. And for some people, that means making it a bigger business. For some people, that means just growing the revenue without increasing the work. So that gives you the ideas of what's most important. You go through the process. You find out what the drivers are, which are the items that are going to get you where you want to go the fastest.
Can you give us an example of somebody that you helped in strategic planning that led them to achieve their goal?
Sure. There was a woman I know. She does medical billing. And she was trying to figure out what was holding her business back. And she went through the process. And what she found out was that, you know, she had to get her website. She had been dithering and going back and forth for a year, supposedly working on the website, but never getting it done. But once she went through the strategic planning process, she realized it really was what was holding her back. She put her focus onto it. Not only did she have the website done, but she was able to leverage that into creating a whole slew of marketing materials that has helped her to get new clients.
Well, I want to thank you, Karen Jett, for helping us to understand that focusing equals getting things done. You have given us strategic steps to help us take charge of our life. You've helped us to create a vision. You've helped us to understand that we need to understand our own values in what is it that we want to leave and what is it that we want to transmit. And you also have given us a strategic guide. We have to know the operating guide that's going to help us get through to achieve our vision. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.